Welcome to Hoosier Ag This Week. It's a wrap-up of the week's top news stories in agriculture and updates on the markets in the Indiana Farm Forecast. Hello, I'm Andy Eubank.
I'm CJ Miller. Many of America's cattle producers are unhappy about President Trump's plan to buy beef from Argentina to lower beef prices. And you'll hear about a significant contribution to Indiana FFA.
I'm Greg Allen. In my latest 4-H For You podcast, I get the chance to talk with three 4-H state ambassadors. Get a quick peek at what they had to say coming up.
Thank you, Greg and CJ. We will report on harvest progress in a couple of different updates on the weekend show. Across Indiana, soybean harvest is nearly wrapped up, completed for many. But since corn harvest is not yet complete, we begin the show with the harvest weather outlook. A decrease in wind and an increase in sunshine. That's what Hoosier Ag Today Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin has in the harvest weather forecast, brought to you by Beacon Credit Union. Greg Allen is back in now, and he has the update with Ryan.
For the next few days, Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin calls for dry weather with improving temperatures.
We get on the backside of Canadian high pressure, see some south flow pick up for the weekend. That combined with a lack of wind, or at least northwest wind, and a increase in sunshine should allow us to see temperatures get back closer to and even a bit above normal from the weekend right on through Monday of next week.
According to Martin, there may be what he calls an interesting little period for Tuesday and Wednesday of next week.
But over the course of this weekend and early on in the week, there's a system that moves through the Missouri Valley, Tennessee Valley, deep south in general, and it doesn't really impact us at all. But Tuesday, Wednesday of this upcoming week, we start to see winds go more south and southeast that may draw up a little bit of this moisture. I'm not big on this round of moisture. I think it's only a few hundreds to a few tenths, and it's only about 40% coverage, but I also can't really say it's dry right now for the Tuesday, Wednesday period. I think a large part of us could be dry, but not everyone, and that may cause a few blips in harvest as we move into midweek.
He's saying we could see our next front come in to haunt us on Halloween night.
That front has half an inch or less of moisture, but it does bring down a very big blast of Canadian air. I'm looking for frost or freeze conditions to be in here for Friday night, Halloween night into Saturday, and Saturday night into Sunday. By the time we get to November 4th, though, that entire first week of November warms up and it dries down. I'm looking for us to be quite mild by the 4th and 5th.
And you can find Ryan Martin's full harvest weather forecast brought to you by Beacon Credit Union at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Greg Allen.
Thank you, Greg. Stock quality is a concern as corn harvest rolls on across Indiana. In a channel seed harvest update, Jeff Lakin, technical agronomist in the Northwest Indiana region, says stocks are generally of average quality right now.
I would be working with your seed professionals and your agronomist to isolate which products to be targeting getting out of the field. We've got some stocks that are pretty brittle, and we saw a little bit of corn go down after some of the wind this weekend, and the longer some of this corn stands out, the more likely that those stalks are going to disintegrate, and we just need to get a lot of that stuff out of the ground. So work with your trusted advisors, whether that be your agronomist or your salesperson, and isolate which products to be targeting first.
While Lakin put soybean harvest at about 95% complete in his area, corn harvest may be only halfway completed.
Things have slowed down a little bit here in the last week or so, week 10 days. Elevators getting full. They're having to sit in line a little more, and things have slowed down a little, but we're still on a good pace to get things wrapped up in a pretty timely matter this year.
Just like growing season rains, yields run the spectrum.
We're seeing some record corn yields in some areas, and then we've seen some record soybean yields in areas. But there's a lot of variability out there as well. It just sort of depends on where the rain was and where the rain wasn't. But in general, I think yields, corn and soybeans, are better than what would have been expected in July.
It's no surprise that Lakin reports very positive results from in-season fungicide applications.
I've seen anywhere from 20 to 40 bushel swings where guys left some check strips where they applied fungicide versus didn't apply fungicide. So this year it was a big deal to put some fungicide out there. We had plenty of disease late in the season, between Southern Rust and Anthracnose.
Hear more from Jeff Lakin in the full Hat and Channel Seed Harvest Update at HoosierAgToday.com or our free mobile app. Time now to shift into the markets, and on Friday, corn, beans, and wheat all sold off. Final numbers from Friday trade on the way. We'll check in, though, first with Brian Basting of Advanced Trading for his commentary. I did speak with him in the middle of the Friday session. A sell-off going into the weekend as we see a little bit of profit-taking, Brian, from the start of the trading session. So some gains through the course of the week, but it did not hold up going into the weekend. Probably not too surprising.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Andy. We did see a strong rally, as you said. We saw the highest prices in December corn and November soybean futures since the middle of September. So about a 5-week high there, a nice rebound here. Some of that was probably hope, anticipation of the administration meeting with China next week. And we'll see how that shakes out if a trade deal comes about. Some of that may be linked to that. Also seeing some basis strength, Andy, as harvest winds down in many areas. A lot of this crop was sold, but a significant portion of it was put in storage, so the basis is firming up as it historically usually does. So we have seen the markets firm up here, but as you said, as the week wound down, just probably a bit of profit taking there on Friday. Again, after a 5-week high, not surprising to see that, but a welcome sign from producer standpoint. We'll just have to see what shakes out moving forward.
Brian, I saw one comment today about optimism abounding, quote unquote, ahead of the upcoming trade talks between China and the U.S. Is that a little overstated from what you can tell, optimism abounding?
I think both sides, Andy, want to do something. It's not productive with these two great trade superpowers, as it were, to just continually butt heads. And so I think there is some optimism that's prevalent there. Unbounded optimism would probably be unwarranted, because I think they still have to iron some things out. But markets have a way of anticipating that, and that's a recipe for volatility, Andy. I'd remind your listeners, though, if the numbers do come through, if you get a big trade deal, certainly we could see some more volatility, in this case, potentially the upside. But price is unpredictable, Andy. If we get another disappointing meeting next week, might be the last one for calendar year 25, we could wipe out the market gains rather quickly. So again, price changes can happen very fast. So I just encourage your listeners to continue to remain as flexible as possible and defend the downside, but leave the upside open. But no one has the perfect crystal ball, but unbounded optimism, I think, would be a little over the top, but cautious optimism, I think, is warranted, because I think both sides want to get something worked out.
Commentary there from Brian Basting of Advanced Trading. Brian, an economist there, and his number is 309-664-2314. Now, final numbers from Friday trade. Everything lower. December corn, 423 and a quarter, down 4 3/4. March down 4 1/4, 437. 3 points off on November beans, 1041 3/4. And January, 1060 1/4, dipping a penny. 1 3/4. Fractionally lower on December and March wheat, 512 1/2 for December, down 0.5 cent. Limit down on December live cattle, 233.92, a loss of $7.25. And a very flat hog market. December lean hogs ending up 12 cents at 81.90. And there's our market review. Plenty more still ahead on the weekend show. I'm Andy Eubank. This is Hoosier Ag This Week.
Ag Bioscience, the number one ag tech podcast globally, is now available on video. Hear the latest from innovators in food, animal health, plant science, ag tech, and agriculture.
The question for me is really, how much of the value do we capture locally to benefit Hoosier farms and rural economies? You know, that's the key. And the framing I always take to it, Eric, is the enemy isn't industry. It's uncontrolled emissions. Farmers are never the problem. In many cases, farmers have been given the short end of the straw. They've been given the short straw. You know, they're the solution to waste to value and how we demonstrate the innovation that can decarbonize our economy today and strengthen rural livelihoods. And that's what grain is all about.
If you could say that a little bit louder for the people in the back that blame farmers for all this stuff, I would appreciate that. They are the solution. They're a big part of this.
Get more episodes online at agrinovusindiana.com. Click on podcasts. Also available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Mother Nature finally has decided it's time to be autumn. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's weekend weather update. Once again, focusing on harvest weather. And this time around, it's brought to you by Beacon Credit Union. Here's what's going on. Mother Nature, not necessarily bipolar, she just decided this year to push the arrival of fall back a little bit. And boy, howdy, over the course of this past week, we've seen fall rear its ugly head pretty doggone quickly. Here's what we've got going on for the weekend. Slowly but surely, bumping temperatures up a little bit. We're doing most of it just due to the fact that we're getting more sunshine. We saw it yesterday. We'll see it today. More sunshine than the day before. Tomorrow, I think we get sunshine and south flow coming up around the backside of high pressure that's parked over the Great Lakes region. But slowly but surely, bumping our temperatures up here in the near-term part of the forecast. And then we get into this upcoming week, or the start of the week, and like we kind of said off the top, it's a north versus south kind of affair. We've got a massive weather system, a dominating storm complex coming out of southern Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas here this weekend, moving eastward through the lower Mississippi River Valley, targeting, honestly, dead hit on the Tennessee Valley and deep south. But we're even seeing this affect the southern part of the Ohio Valley. That means I think we end up with clouds getting thrown up into the southern third of Indiana as we move through the Monday, Tuesday, early Wednesday time frame. And I think at least Monday, Tuesday, we've got scattered showers in that southern third. The clouds may make it all the way up to about I-70, but you get into the northern half of the state, and we've just got partly sunny skies to start the week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I think the scattered showers around in the southern third of the state those first two and a half, 3 days of next week will bring anywhere from a quarter to three quarters of an inch. Coverage at about 60%, that is all, but we cannot wave the all clear and dry flag. Now, what's really interesting is when that system finally pulls away and moves off to the east and southeast, it does help, well, and there's another minor front involved here, but it does help to bring a reinforcing shot of cold air down out of Canada. Canadian high pressure settles in first over the northern plains and upper Midwest Wednesday, moves east over the Great Lakes through Thursday and Friday. With that, I think we return to a strong northwest flow coming across the Great Lakes, and if we do that, what's going to happen? Well, exactly what happened this past week. A lot of clouds, some spits and sprinkles. It's going to be more of a story in Michigan than Indiana, but I do think that we see plenty of clouds around over northern Indiana Thursday, Friday, and we are going to be seeing these strong northwest winds. That stays through the weekend as well, so we're chilly. Then as we get into next week, wow, a massive warm-up for the Monday, Tuesday, early Wednesday time frame. Then a sagging frontal boundary brings heavy rains to Indiana Wednesday night. Much colder for Thursday, Friday, and the following weekend. I'm Ryan Martin.
This harvest, it's more than crops. It's your legacy. Beacon Credit Union offers ag loans for equipment, land, and operating costs. Competitive rates, flexible terms, and local experts who know farming. Beacon Credit Union. Local. Trusted. Rooted in agriculture. We're ag people. Serving ag people. Visit beaconcu.org. Insured by ASI, not federally insured EHO lender.
Welcome back to Hoosier Ag This Week. I'm CJ Miller with Hoosier Ag Today. Many U.S. beef producers are unhappy about President Trump's plan to buy beef from Argentina in order to lower retail prices here in the U.S.
What do you have to say to U.S. farmers who feel that the deal is benefiting Argentina more than it is them, they are a
top Argentina's farmer. Fighting for its life, young lady. You don't know anything about it.
And that was Trump aboard Air Force One last Sunday, following reports that he's also agreed to give Argentina a $20 billion bailout as a show of support to their president, Javier Milei.
We're extremely disappointed in the president's comments and his approach.
And that's Colin Woodall, CEO of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association.
If his idea is to lower the price of beef, it means that he's going to lower the price that U.S. producers get paid for their cattle. And producers across the United States have spent decades now working on improving their genetics in order to produce what is today the highest quality beef that's ever been produced in the history of this industry. And we are finally getting paid for that quality. And in essence, the president basically told us to go pound sand.
He tells Hoosier Ag Today that the president's plan would cause chaos for beef producers and the cattle market.
Well, chaos is the key word there. And people are trying to figure out what they can do to protect the gains that we have made over the past several years here. And is this the end because of these comments? Those are a lot of the questions we're getting from our producers. And again, it's about comments that are seemingly innocuous, but just have huge market implications. So we know today we've already been hit financially, and if the president continues on his proposal, that will only grow.
Following that criticism that Trump has received for his plan to buy beef from Argentina, he posted on Truth Social Wednesday that the cattle ranchers don't understand. And he says, quote, "If it weren't for me, they would be doing just as they've done for the past 20 years. Terrible." He also added that cattle producers, quote, "have to get their prices down." You can find our full coverage of the back and forth between President Trump and U.S. cattle producers. It's at HoosierAgToday.com. We'll be talking a lot about FFA this coming week as the National FFA Convention and Expo returns to Indianapolis. But let's also focus on another outstanding youth organization, 4-H. Greg Allen has more.
In the latest episode of the 4-H For You podcast, I talked to three 4-H state ambassadors. Izzy Gibson gave some great advice for any young person interested in becoming a 4-H member.
Don't be scared to do things, because I know when I first started, like especially my very first year, I was so terrified to run for office in my clubs to talk to new people. But I realized that it's so much easier to just do it instead of not doing it and regretting it later.
From public speaking to teamwork to leadership, 4-H helps youth grow into confident, capable adults. According to Morgan Keith,
someone is always watching you and someone wants to be just like you. And sometimes that's like, oh, that's really scary. Like, I'm like living for the first time too. But at the same time, it really does push me to be a better person. I really enjoy it.
The 4-H program gives kids a head start and a safe space to learn by doing, as Annie Ackerman can attest.
I would honestly say just to try everything, because you never know what's going to stick, what projects you're going to like. I have taken so many projects over the years, and some of them have really surprised me that I actually enjoyed it. So I would just tell them to take every opportunity and try everything.
Enrollment is now open for the new 4-H year. Parents and students can learn more by visiting 4-H.org or the Purdue Extension website. And watch the latest episode of 4-H For You at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Greg Allen.
Another great program that's preparing the next generation of ag leaders is Field Atlas from Agrinovis, Indiana. One of this year's Field Atlas ambassadors is Connor Kiesler from LaGrange. He's studying agricultural education at Purdue University. He says the Field Atlas tours of Indiana-based agribusinesses, including Corteva and Ingredion, have helped him to gain far more insight on the ag industry.
When you think of agriculture, you often think about the production side of things, but you don't often get to think about and see the actual industry and manufacturing side that Indiana has to offer and the great companies we have here in Indiana.
Most of all, he says he's enjoyed the opportunity to network with agribusiness leaders, including a data scientist at Purdue.
He said, I know a lot of people at Purdue, and so he's going to be a great network opportunity for me to reach out to other professors and maybe some future opportunities for myself.
Learn more about Agrinovis Indiana's Field Atlas program by visiting myfieldatlas.com. And if you're an Indiana woodland owner, now's the time to be thinking about planting new trees this spring.
You know, one of the things I like to tell people is the best time to plant trees was 20 years ago, and the second best time is today.
And that's Lenny Farley, forester with Purdue Extension and a board member of the Indiana Forestry and Woodland Owners Association. He says there are many different things to consider if you're looking to plant new trees.
What is already there? And so if there's overstory forest and shade already there, we're going to have to select seedlings that'll tolerate some shade. Things like sugar maple, beech, basswood. If it's wide open and got a lot of sunlight, we've got a lot more choices of trees and shrubs that could do well. We also have to look at the soils and the site condition. And so is there impeded drainage or is it a dry site? What kind of textures and types of soils and soil depths do we have? Because that's also going to have a big impact on what tree and shrub species would be most adapted to that site.
He says now is the time to be planning ahead for your spring planting.
So this is really kind of prime time to be ordering what I call conservation tree seedlings that are suitable for reforestation, wildlife habitat, windbreaks, soil erosion plantings, all those conservation style plantings. And so the nurseries, both public and private, that have those seedlings available are typically taking orders in the fall to reserve your seedlings for when we typically do the plantings in the spring. So you really want to get your orders in.
Farley adds that the key to making sure you have the right trees for your property is by doing your research.
Those gardening mistakes you can fix next year. Tree planting mistakes you're kind of stuck with for a long time.
Find more tree planting tips at HoosierAgToday.com. And coming up, you'll hear how harvest is coming along from farmers all across the state in our crop tour. That's straight ahead. I'm CJ Miller with Hoosier Ag Today. You're listening to Hoosier Ag This Week.
Pushing for yield? Of course you are. But what's left behind the combine? A golden opportunity, that's what. Take advantage of the bound-up nutrition in your residue with Reclaim from Direct Enterprises. Reclaim makes valuable nutrition available to your next crop, enhances soil health, and reduces reliance on tillage. Plan ahead, get ahead with Reclaim. Learn more about Reclaim and find your local dealer online at directenterprises.com. That's directenterprises.com. Hey, farmers, need equipment? Check out Purple Wave Auction every other Wednesday. They're running ag auctions where everything sells, no reserve, no games. What I love is how they let you talk directly with sellers. Got questions about that tractor? Just ask. That's the kind of hometown service you want. But here's the kicker. Your equipment gets seen by buyers across the entire country. Whether you're buying or selling, jump into Purple Wave's auction rhythm at purplewave.com. Purple Wave Auction. Sold means sold.
Hey, saving the best for last, I see. We appreciate you sticking around and listening to Hoosier Ag This Week. I'm Greg Allen, your chauffeur for this last segment, so buckle up. We've got some good stuff to wrap up with. Like farmers that keep telling us better than anticipated and better than expected when it comes to corn and soybean yields this year. Eric Pfeiffer heard from some of those farmers in his Crop Tour Tuesday segment.
We begin in northern Indiana with LaPorte County farmer Denise Scarborough, chair of the Indiana Soybean Alliance.
We started picking commercial corn last week, and it's doing a little bit better than anticipated given how dry we were this growing season. We did receive some rain over the weekend, about 1.5 to 2 inches, kind of depending where you were at in our area. Thankfully, we missed some of the straight line winds that were a little bit to the west of us. Our wheat is coming up nice. It looks like it has a pretty good stand so far. We should get back into the field here shortly and continue picking corn and enjoying some of the cooler weather we're having and hopefully get our double crop beans out soon.
In west central Indiana, Ryan Rippey shares what he's up to in his fields in Montgomery, Fountain, and Tippecanoe counties.
It's about noon today, and I'm just climbing back in the combine to get going after that rain delay over the weekend, which was much appreciated. We'd had several hard days in a row, so it was nice to be able to spend part of Saturday and Sunday at home and get to see everybody. We are down to about the last 25% of the corn left. Been in our non-GMO acres all last week, and things have been really good.
In Delaware County, Jenna Scott with Cox Farms Incorporated in Gaston says harvest progress has been rapid.
We don't hardly see any bean fields that haven't been harvested in our county, maybe one or two, but it looks like everybody finished up beans. We had a couple problems with our grain bins and couldn't run for 2 days, but that gave us a chance to do some preventative maintenance and catch up on a few items. But we're back in the fields today, and the yields continue to surprise us with how good they are considering how little rain we had, which is a good thing.
And last but not least, we head to southern Indiana, where Du Bois County farmer and National Corn Board member J.R. Reisner reports from Ferdinand, just north of Santa Claus and Holiday World.
This past week, we were able to get all but just a few acres of replant soybeans finished up. We're able to make good progress on corn harvest as well. Did get some rain over the weekend. That'll definitely keep us out for a few days here. Yields overall have been good. Even some of the later crops have been surprisingly better than expected. Looking forward to hopefully wrapping up harvest here in the next week or so.
See, better than anticipated, better than expected. We even got a good from JR there. So be sure to tune in next week to our Crop Tour Tuesday segment.
Thanks, Eric.
And as the 98th National FFA Convention and Expo kicks off on Wednesday this week in Indianapolis, we're shining the spotlight on one ag business and their longtime support of Indiana FFA. CJ Miller has the story.
When Indiana FFA announced they were looking to build a new cabin at the Indiana FFA Leadership Center that's compliant with the Americans with Disabilities Act, Farm Credit Mid-America stepped up to make a significant donation.
We don't see that just as a donation. It's a long-term investment in the future of agriculture.
That's Jason Wilson, Regional Vice President of Agricultural Lending with Farm Credit Mid-America. He also serves on the Board of Directors for the Indiana FFA Foundation.
It's important that when we're looking at securing the future of rural communities and agriculture that we stay focused on programs like FFA that provide the service, training, development for those that are going to be the future of agriculture, and we continue to invest in FFA, and we just couldn't be more proud of the partnership that we've had with Indiana FFA.
You know, the Cabin Project is a symbol of progress and inclusivity within the agriculture community. It does not just represent a new building, but a commitment to ensuring every aspiring agriculture leader has the opportunity to thrive.
And that's Lisa Shadon, Executive Director of the Indiana FFA Foundation.
And I think FFA and Farm Credit, in all the things that we do, want to make sure that we have the infrastructure in place so that students and members of FFA can succeed in whatever area they choose to go into when they become adults and those citizens that serve every single day.
Farm Credit Mid-America is one of many sponsors who are helping Indiana FFA reach its fundraising goals. If you'd also like to donate and help support Indiana FFA, visit their website, infffa.org. I'm CJ Miller.
Thank you, CJ. And as we wrap up the last segment of Hoosier Ag this week, we just wanted to take a moment to say farewell and congratulations on the retirement of the Executive Director of the Indiana State Fair Commission, Cindy Hoy. She will be retiring effective March 31st, 2026, after having served in that role for more than 21 years. Under her stewardship, the annual Indiana State Fair has expanded its footprint and impact, reinforced its role in showcasing agriculture and youth, and today is recognized as one of the nation's most respected and celebrated state fairs. So happy retirement, Cindy, from all of us here at Hoosier Ag Today. And as always, you can find all of these stories and much more at our website, HoosierAgToday.com. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you on Monday. I'm Greg Allen.